forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works do.
Hello and welcome to Work Stew. It's February 19th, 2012, and this is episode number 31. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. Last time I spoke with Amy Gutman, a writer and lawyer who has had four distinct careers and is currently in the process of what may prove to be another reinvention. In this podcast, I talked to Dr. Jennifer McDonald, an OBGYN who knew what she wanted to do for a living from very early on and whose commitment to her path has never wavered. She tended to pregnant women day in and day out, even as she herself was struggling with the pain of infertility. She says it was extremely difficult, but it also made her a better doctor. Here's the interview. I'm talking this evening to Dr. Jennifer McDonald, who is an OBGYN practicing in St. Louis. And Dr. Jen, thank you so much for making the time to talk to me.
You're very welcome.
So I wanted to first go back in time and just find out what influenced your decision to become an OBGYN.
Well, in undergrad, my initial thought that I wanted to be when I grew up was a research scientist, and the more I did some of that in my undergrad career, the more I realized I just didn't like it, that animals were not the same as people, and I enjoyed human interaction. So I came home one day and said, Mom, I want to go to med school, and she said, okay. And at first I thought I wanted to be a pediatrician, but quickly and early in my med school career, somebody helped me deliver a baby, and I was sold from that moment on. There was just no other feeling that I got from just having this baby land in your hands, basically, and hand it to the mom, and just nothing ever compared.
So it sounds like it was a pretty clear decision to you after that experience.
It was. Nothing ever seemed to compare, despite people trying to talk me out of it, telling me my life would be insane and crazy. I would never have a family. I would never have a life. And, you know, in med school, you don't have a life anyway, so you really don't know what to compare it to. But,
right. You know, well, that is one of the...
The more I did it, the more I loved it.
So. Yeah, that lifestyle sort of set of considerations is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because I know the last time we were trying to connect, you were working, I think, a 24-hour shift. You said it's obviously late in the evening there now as I talk to you. What is your lifestyle like? What are the considerations?
Some of my lifestyle is crazy right now by design. So I have a very busy office practice. We deliver about 20 to 30 babies a month between my partner and I, two-thirds of them being mine, one-third being his. I also work extra shifts, which is what you were speaking of, on the weekends, as what's called the house physician. So in St. Louis, anyway, hospitals that don't have residency programs still need to have an OBGYN on staff 24/7, so the floor is never uncovered and those patients are safe. So you're employed by the hospital to be that quote-unquote babysitter. I just left a room from breaking somebody's water and admitted patients earlier. So they're not your own patients, but you're here for, like tonight, I'll be here for 14 hours and go about my normal business tomorrow. So I moonlight at three hospitals and I have a busy practice, and I also teach a class at one of the local universities. So I like to be busy by design. But
so I'm assuming I'm thinking that an 8-hour night of sleep is probably an unknown thing to you.
It is. You know, if I just took everything else extra that I do out, I would probably still work about a 60 to 70 hour work week, just between surgeries and rounds and patients in the office and phone calls and paperwork and things. But extra things add up to about 110, 120 hours a week, depending on the week.
My goodness. So one of the other things that I have heard med students, you know, think about as they contemplate the different paths, aside from lifestyle considerations, is just that there's so much concern about insurance when it comes to OBGYNs and people, you know, essentially being sort of hesitant or scared to go into that practice. Is that something that weighed on you at all, or do you see a shortage of OBGYNs due to that?
I don't, in this area, see a shortage. There are less people going into OBGYN, so in time that may pan out to be more apparent. It wasn't really a consideration for me, just this is the part of medicine that I loved, and it didn't really seem to play too big of a role, and it still doesn't. It's, you know, you hate writing a malpractice check that's twice some of your colleagues, but that's the price of doing what we do, and you know, when you go into it for the right reasons, which is the love of what you do, it's really not that big of an issue.
So you don't feel it's necessarily keeping people out of becoming OBGYNs who might otherwise have considered it?
I don't think so. I still keep in touch with a lot of the residency programs in the area, and they're full. At least the St. Louis programs, there are three major programs, and they're growing, actually. So they're adding residency spots every couple of years, which is a good thing. I think there's less males going into OB, but it's not from a malpractice standpoint. It's just the shift in what patient choices are. More people are requesting females, and so males are having a harder time getting started. So I think we'll see more of a flip-flop for lack of males in obstetrics in the near future, but
interesting. So one impression that those of us who are, you know, sort of on the outside have is, you know, we tend to think of OBGYN as the happy specialty versus, you know, say working in something like oncology. Is, as a practicing OBGYN, is that how you generally feel about it? Is that how you experience it? Or are there ups and downs as there might be in any profession or any line of doctoring?
Well, there's definitely ups and downs. You know, you take care of generally your obstetric population as a young, healthy population that you wouldn't expect major issues with, but ladies have miscarriages. It's certainly devastating. There are stillborn babies. It's devastating. You had a baby die in labor last week. Obviously devastating. They're few and far between, but I always describe my specialty as it's black and white. You know, it's either really, really good or really, really bad. There's not a lot of gray. You know, generally, obstetrics is a very happy specialty, and you hand mama a baby, but a lot of my patients, I've also walked with them through several miscarriages or infertility, and, you know, the journey to get to that healthy baby is not always an easy one.
Right, and that's a good segue in some ways to my next question, which is that I know you're an expectant mom yourself, weeks away from the happy day. So how long had you actually been working as an OBGYN yourself when you decided you were ready to become a mom? And, you know, what was that path to motherhood like for you?
I got married when I was a chief resident, so the very last year of residency. I started private practice in 2004 and got married in 2004, and we had decided to wait 2 years before we started trying. And our journey took us 6.5 years later through several IVF cycles to being almost 31 weeks at this point. So it's definitely been a struggle and a journey that I know a lot of people take, but it was very painful to take care of lots of ladies who didn't want to be pregnant and, you know, maybe not the right life circumstances and, you know, not being judgmental of those folks, too, for a long time and bitter that they were having success and I wasn't. So that took some prayer and thought to get through, and eventually that was replaced and I was able to do my job well and not feel those ill feelings anymore.
Right. That must have been very difficult. Did you find that your own experiences have in any way changed how you are as a doctor?
I think so. Infertility can't help but change you, certainly. I think it made me more aware of a population that I wasn't able to identify with as much before. It's also, and then just pregnancy in general has made me kind of understand some of the things that some women would complain about a little bit more. So it's just made me more sensitive, I believe. Maybe listen a little bit better and take a little bit more care and time, and not because I didn't understand something, you know, blow off a complaint, which I guess is easy to do.
Right, right. One thing I was curious about is, you know, so many pregnant women go through pregnancy worrying pretty much all the time. You know, we all let our imaginations run wild. When you have the kind of knowledge and training that you have, does that help keep that sort of anxiety in check, or are you much the same as any expectant mom sometimes?
I think I'm always very laid back. That's just my personality. I think my husband had enough anxiety for both of us, so I didn't have to be anxious. Once I saw on ultrasound a pretty baby with a heartbeat, I was good. I knew that, you know, everything was going to be okay. We've had some minor complications, which have not been a big deal, and I'm just hoping that she gets here safe and on her scheduled day. And I've been pretty laid back. We've done, you know, everybody says, oh, you must do ultrasounds all the time and listen all the time. I really don't. You know, every few weeks I do take a peek, but I'm not listening every 10 minutes in the office. I can feel her kicking and squirming, and I know she's fine. So it's, for me, it's been a very peaceful process. Compared to the process to get here, this part's been easy.
This is the easy part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, and I can't wait to hear the news when that happy day comes. And in the meantime, thank you for taking a few minutes away from your, I mean, busy schedule doesn't really even sum it up, does it? But thank you for the time.
It's normal.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Dr. Jennifer McDonald. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.